What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
He was trained well. 6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Hey, Ben, so Joe told you? Did Joe tell you?
Yeah, and you guys have told me, because I think the first time I did this, I think I turned it on at 6. And
it was at 6:01. Look, no. Ben was looking at the clock, looking at me.
Look, I'm trying to take Ben under my wing here. And I sneak in there. I was like, hey, man, just make sure you just put his mic on at 6:02. Like, get as close to it as you can. Don't do this with this person. Don't talk with that person. That person.
The music started at 6:01. I'm like, I kind of rose up in my chair. Like, what the? And Ben, I saw the light didn't go on. Ben looking at the clock at me. Yeah, he knows. I'm sorry, Ben. It's a thing. It's more of a thing with the listeners than it is with me. It is. If I said 6:01 in the AM, that'd be inboxes on Facebook and post on, what is it now, Twix?
Twix? No, that's a candy. It's X.
No, it's, somebody called it, they have a new name for it.
I think she was combining it, Amy Lawrence, I think she was just combining the two, I guess.
Twix. Yeah. She called it Twix.
Twix, yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever called it X, even after Elon bought it.
And I'm not going to. I'm not going to. It's Twitter.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a begin. Yesterday kept feeling like Sunday to me, because it was a 1 o'clock game, and it just felt like Sunday, just the routine. And riding back on the train, I'm like, no, I'm going to work tomorrow as Thursday, not as Monday. That's much better.
So yesterday, in the Daily Line, I picked the Mets, and I said, I understand people don't want to bet against the Orioles. The facing three lefties, and if I'm going to face the Orioles, I want to throw a lefty at them, because you look at all the power that they have and the talent they have. It's a lot of left-handed bats.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, and I'm looking at it and betting it. Can I tell you how having a team that's good and having a bet in, knowing that no matter what happens, I'm either going to be happy or sad, and right, it could be either outcome making me one or the other. And I'm sitting here rooting for the Orioles, and I'm like, oh, my bet. Oh, I forgot. Like, you forget that you had them. And then I was on the air on BetQL when the walk-off happened. And then I go to social media, Rob, and somebody's like, hey, Sir Anthony, Mike Elias, nice trade for Sir Anthony Dominguez. You guys got to be kidding me, right? The guy's got a whip below one. He had an ERA of 2-something coming in. It's a small sample size. His ERA went to 3 because he gave up a run. He's got 3 saves. And you're going to go, that's a bad trade now? Nobody's ever happy in this city.
No.
Nobody. It's ridiculous, man.
They do have bullpen issues, though. Bad bullpen. Not him. This is going to hurt to say. It's going to hurt to say, because I know his resume. And it's funny because I was on Twitter for a lot of the night. Jim Palmer said, was talking about the resume of Craig Kimbrel.
Mm-hmm.
And my response to Jim Palmer is, you can't get outs with your resume. You can't. Where do you put him? Where do you put him? Honestly, where do you put Craig Kimbrel in your bullpen? And trust me when I tell you this, I don't like having that conversation, because I respect what he's done over his career, and I like the dude. Having said that, there's no place for me to put him in my bullpen.
Yeah.
There's no place.
I'm not going to fight you on this, because, like I said this at the beginning of the year when they signed him, everybody was excited because you have...
And I was one of those people.
Well, and there was nothing wrong with being excited, because you had a guy coming in to replace a guy that you really needed. You did not have a closer until you got him. And it's so weird, the ebbs and flows of Craig Kimbrel, the Birdman out there. Caw-caw! What's he doing with his arms out wide? And everybody at the All-Star break is like, he should be in over Clay Holmes. He should be on the All-Star team.
And Bruce Bochy said, see?
Yeah. Well, Clay Holmes has blown 10 saves. Yeah, it looked like neither one of these cats should have been in the All-Star game. But it gets to the point, and here's what I want people to understand, and I'm not trying to like mansplain baseball, but they're going to try to get every drop out of it to make sure this cat's done. You're paying him the type of money you're paying him and the ability that he's shown you before. You're going to give him every chance. But, Rob, I don't think that dog hunts anymore, man. So
it doesn't.
And I'd be fine if they just said, hey, this is the direction we got to go in. Because right now, you can't put that guy on the postseason roster, so why ride it out in the regular season?
There's no place to put him. You don't put people on the postseason roster for, well, just in case there's a blowout. You don't do that. You put people on the postseason roster assuming every game is competitive because chances are they will be.
Yeah.
And I like the guy. I like him. I just can't use him in my bullpen right now.
Yeah, and look, there's going to be a lot of this stuff that goes on. Because, like, we don't come in every day to talk about the moves that Elias made. Like, Austin Slater, how about that yesterday? Nobody wants him hit. I know it's his second home run of the season, you know, and we'll get into more of this in the next segment. But all these moves they made, they're not all bad moves, guys. No. And, like, you got to let some of these things breathe. I understand people want to complain and they want the team to win. They want them to be good. And when things go awry, but it's a long-ass season. Yeah. I mean, look at what's happened to all the good teams in baseball here in the second half. Mm. They've struggled.
Remember our boy Joe Falbo?
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Falbo texts me maybe Tuesday. So I know you're having fun up in New York. I'm like, nah, dude, this work. I haven't done anything. I still got to do the morning show. And then Tuesday night happened. Wherever we were, I left. Went back to my room. Took a shower and came to work.
Damn. Good times.
True story.
Yeah.
That was a true story. I didn't want to tell you guys while I was on air yesterday because I said, they're not going to be able to tell them. It's going to be, but on every commercial break, I was like this. Hand hit the microphone.
Todd.
That's how I met Boomer and Sides. And Boomer said, whatever you did last night, I want to do.
Did you have a good time, though, in New York?
Number one, I always have a good time. My favorite two cities, other than my beloved Baltimore, it's New York and Tampa. And I don't know who's number one and number two. But I could spend all of my downtime in either one of those cities, flip a coin. 3-day weekend, flip a coin. Where am I going? I love New York. I never have a bad time in either city. My worst time in either one of those cities are great times. So I never had a bad time in New York. It's a beautiful city. So much going on. So busy. I love that part about it. And Tampa has a lot going on, but it's not as busy. I don't like Tampa because of the weather, the cigar sections, and all that stuff. But New York is great.
It's funny for me because, I got to admit, I haven't seen as many places or gone. Like, I love New Orleans. I really like Nashville, but it's not like somewhere I'm dying to go. This experience I had in California, especially San Francisco, for me, a lot of times, it's just about the food now.
Right.
Like, my fat ass is out there. What we got on the menu? Let's see what we have. Because when I was in California, I had so much good food. There was one place that I went to that I said, hey, I could live here the rest of my life. And it may sound strange to some people, and it was San Antonio. San Antonio
is beautiful.
It feels like I was living in White Marsh.
You I was know stationed what I mean? There, yeah.
Yeah, but the Air Force is big there, right? So in San Antonio, we went there. The food was really good. It was extremely cheap. And you could get to whatever you wanted to on any given day at any given time. Like, there was the Riverwalk is great. All those restaurants.
You like Riverwalk?
I did. I mean, look, it looks like a touristy trap. I like some of the other stuff we did, but we went out there and walked it. They had some things going on when we were there as well. I just thought it was a really cool. And then, by the way, me being a big basketball guy.
It's a big basketball
place. I could go watch the Spurs every night, especially now.
It's big in basketball in general. Hey, real quick, another reason I like New York is this. There's no place ever that I'm going to walk 6 miles in one day. But just the pace of New York, you can walk it and not feel it. I walk 3 miles to work, 3 miles home from work. And I'm not walking 6 miles in a day anywhere. Oh. I'm not. But I would walk every place there, either walk or catch the subway. I caught the subway from the radio station to City Field yesterday. But I'm not walking 6 miles even on a treadmill.
I hate that now. We were in San Francisco and my wife has her Fitbit or whatever. Right. I don't know what it is. It's tracking your steps.
She has an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
So once you walk a certain amount of distance straight, it picks up.
So she was telling us, because we're together the whole day and we're obviously doing the same thing.
Right.
How many steps we took. And I was like, I hate you. Take this many steps. Cut it in half and take an Uber somewhere. But it was because my back started to give out and It's problematic, man. You look at, I was saying, you were talking about walking, how many miles you had to walk to get to work because you refused to pay for $60 Uber, which I totally understand. But I'm like, damn, man, I'm hurting thinking about Rob walking 3 miles.
I told you, two issues. One issue I never had was knee issues. I've never had knee issues.
Me either.
I had a minor back issue, and you know what it was? It was back in 2014. No, 2014, before I lost 60 pounds. When I lost the weight, back issues went away.
Can I tell you, like, I have one of the worst backs you could have. I think I need a bacchiotomy like Ed. I've only rolled my ankle seriously once. I tore a ligament in my ankle. I used to play basketball in low tops, and people would look at me like, what the hell are you doing?
None to do it.
It doesn't, like, my ankles, I've never had issues with. But feet,
now,
yes.
Now everybody plays low tops. Jeremy, joint practice coming up. I want to know what you want to see from that joint practice. We'll do that at 6:30. But on the other side, Orioles, another heartbreaker in the Queens. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ben, let me ask you a question, and I want an honest answer, because I could tell if you're lying to me. If we, Jeremy and I rode with you, me sitting shotgun, Jeremy in the back seat, of course. And we drove for an hour. What would be playing on your playlist?
Rap and R&B. Tem, SZA, Afro Baby, that. Big X the Plug.
Yeah.
Big X the Plug.
You could tell person? By your rejoin of music.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is totally... I'm not complaining.
No, it's...
I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, just a little profiling there, Ben. Profiling.
Can I say something on this real? Because I was talking about this yesterday. I listened to Post Malone's country album. All right. So
why'd you do that?
Look, I love Post Malone. The album's good, but a lot of country music sounds the same, right? It's very similar rhythm, beat, whatever. That's why for a long period of time when they were doing mashups, they would take every damn Florida Georgia Line and put it with a hip hop song because the beat matches up. The difference between country music and hip hop is, like, you'll get the double entendres in both. You'll get the, you know,
right,
cool phrases where it's like, some beach. You mean some bitch? Yeah. You know, you start looking at those things. But it is funny to me because there's so many people that are just down on hip-hop when it's just, it's modern-day poetry, and it's beautiful.
Man, people down on hip-hop is because they want to be down on hip-hop. That's all that is. Good job there, by the way, Ben. Orioles lose yesterday. They lose the series 4-3, and it was a heartbreaker. It just quite simply was a heartbreaker. It was a no-hitter until it wasn't. Sixth inning, hit batsman. And after that, Austin Slater comes up and crushes a home run. Hit by pitch was
Holiday.
Hit by pitch.
So that's when, watching that at bat, I'm going, he threw one way inside, Holiday got out of the way. Then he threw another one inside that hits him. I'm going, all right, is he trying to hit him? Did something happen that I missed? Did we hit somebody on the other team that they thought was intentional? Or was it just, because Sean Manaea was on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're throwing a no-hitter. You're on.
So why were you coming inside?
How did you miss so badly? And it could have happened. I'm not saying that was intentional or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But when a guy has that much control and looks that good, he ends up giving a home run up that ties the game as you're throwing a no-hitter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he had a perfect game until he hit him. So, again, I don't think he's trying to, but it was just kind of weird.
I think he had a perfect game. But I think I would say I would contribute half of the perfection, his perfection, to the Orioles taking bad swings. Maybe not even half, because there were some bad calls also. Again.
Surprise.
You remember that time? Remember that time when Ryan O'Hearn lost his cool before yesterday? Remember that time?
No.
And me either. Never remember Ryan O'Hearn losing his cool. Folks, never remember Ryan O'Hearn losing the school. Can I pull back the curtain a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
As you slide that open a little bit for me, too?
Pull back the curtain now.
Go back to New York.
I was not, I don't want to say out with. I was out Tuesday, and O'Hearn was out with his wife. And when he saw us, he waved us on. We went over and sat with him. The guy was in such a cool, good mood. He was in a great mood. Left early because they had a day game. Saw him before the game. Good mood. Same Ron O'Hearn. I've never seen Ron O'Hearn go nuclear like that. Never. And it wasn't like, well, maybe something was going on. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was a lousy call. It was a lousy call. And I think it was just a series of lousy calls over that series that just made them pop.
You remember how the voices got louder in the NFL with how bad pass interference calls yeah. were and why can't we challenge them, especially after the NFC Championship game? Yeah. So those things, when they're going on, you're going to start talking about what types of changes do we need to make. Baseball player, like baseball, Ben and I were just talking about it in the commercial break. It's such a weird sport where things happen. You got to get your 27 outs. It does not matter. You know, some guy just doesn't have it.
Yep.
But the last thing you want is the judge, the umpire,
screwing up the game.
Yeah. And then the thing about baseball players is that more so than any other sport, and maybe you can put basketball in there if you're in a shooting slump, but this is the one thing where one pitch can change what you're doing, one call, and it'll, before you know it, you can start pressing. And I'm not saying like this is all the umpire's fault for guys, but I really think they're going to take a hard look at this in the offseason, more so than they have in years past, because we've seen some really bad umpiring this year. You can't miss 20% of your strikes and balls, and I know that might be an outlier, but we've had guys missing 12%, 13% consistently this year.
Two things from yesterday I'll take with pitching. Cole Irvin, I know it's not a statistically quality start, and I won't try to make it out to be one, but I will say this.
He looked
okay.
That
was a Johnny on the spot start. Needed him, he got his job done. That's number one. Number two, so far, I like Colin Selby. I like the stuff so far. I'm not saying he's the answer to the back end of the bullpen, because I don't think he is, but I do. I like what I see with him.
Yeah, he wiggled out of a little jam yesterday. I like the beard. But, you know, like when you're watching his makeup, you're trying to – it's easy to like somebody now because there's so many guys in the bullpen that people don't like.
Can I say this? On the two walks – bad calls.
Yeah.
Got squeezed.
It happened.
He got squeezed.
Yeah.
And one of them should have been a strikeout. The other one should have been, if I'm not mistaken, 1-2 instead of 2-1.
So you look at some pitchers, right? Some guys aren't great at holding runners on. Some guys aren't great pitching out of the stretch. So you put a runner on first base, and then now all of a sudden the game can change. Like, that's what I'm right. saying about baseball. When you have an umpire that's dictating what happens in the game and their strike zone is moving all over the place, it's not like, I don't think we're coming in and saying this has all been unfair to the Orioles. It's been unfair to hitters,
everybody,
across baseball,
yeah.
And pitchers.
I think they're changing the game, man, to be honest with you. You're changing the game on your dumbass calls. I'm sorry. Mm. It's just bad calls. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ravens are introducing a lot of new packages in the stadium. Will that cause the casual fan to come to the stadium more? We'll talk about that at 6:45, but on the other side, joint practice coming up between the Packers and the Ravens. Coach Khan will tell you what he wants to see. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Whoa, big fella. Whoa, big fella.
Settle down.
We ain't holding hands now.
Well.
It ain't raining. It ain't overcast. Whoa, ooh. Big fella.
Great song.
It is. So, Jeremy Khan, we got joint practice today at 10:30, the Baltimore Ravens in Green Bay on Ray Nitschke Field. What do you want to see, Coach?
What I want to see is, look, if you look at the Green Bay Packers, what is everybody talking about with them, that wide receiving core they have? I want to see what this secondary looks like against those guys, because I think if you're going to have a litmus test on what can be done in practice, you want to see your guys go up against these young, quick receivers. A lot of them very similar if you want to talk about Wicks or Watson. I mean, there's four guys in that group you can look at and say, okay, Dobbs. I mean, there's
– oh, yeah.
You're watching these guys and going, okay, Green Bay has a ton of talent at the wide receiving core. They just have to stay healthy. Christian Watson, his hamstrings keep exploding on him, or that guy might finish the season with 18 touchdowns.
I'm glad you're saying this, Jeremy, because everybody jumped on Matt LaFleur for saying – we don't have a number one wide receiver. We got a lot of number ones. And people jumped on him about that. I agree with him. Jeremy, who's that number one wide receiver?
They got a bunch.
Exactly.
So I'll give you an example.
Exactly.
Doing the national show, the question was, if you could only take one wide receiver off of Green Bay, who would it be? The three people that answered the question all gave a different answer. So it's kind of like Christian Watson has the most talent, but it gives you pause because of the injury problems he's had.
Yeah, so don't get upset with Matt LaFleur for saying he gets ticked off about hearing the number. What is it? I want to throw up or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he has a lot of talent at wide receiver. It's not his. He's not giving you coaches speak. You just said, first thing you said is, I want to see our secondary against these wide receivers. They got three good ones.
Yeah, I got news for you. I think Green Bay is much, much better than people think.
They're the dark horse of the NFC for me.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the Lions are winning that division. And honestly, I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. Although I think they are suspect in week one. And I'll keep saying that. And when we get there, I'll talk about it. But this Lions team is loaded, man. And they're ready to make a run. The interesting thing is that their division, we don't know what Minnesota is going to be. I don't expect it to be good at all. Chicago's interesting, but it's a rookie quarterback that's going to make a ton of mistakes. And then you got Green Bay that I don't feel like a lot of people are talking. Green Bay on that Friday night against the Eagles, I'm going to be betting them. Like, I think Green Bay is one of the most undervalued teams. And go back and look at how they finished the season last year.
What does their defense do that challenges the offense? Because right now, I'll let you know this, if you read all the media from Green Bay, the media members at least are shivering about the challenge that the Ravens present to them.
Yeah, and look, and I think...
Is it shivering or quivering?
Both of them. They're okay. Cold. No, it's something, too, like when you're looking at this Ravens team going up against them, and what are Green Bay's weaknesses? Are they going to be able to stop the run this year? Because they were, for all intents and purposes, kind of a middle-of-the-pack defense last year, and at times, I thought they played better towards the end of the season, which is kind of a weird thing to say, but, you know, some guys figuring it out. You got new guys in new places. And then you've got some personnel movement that you got to figure out. Their pass rush, is it going to be good enough this year to get it done? And I think for them, anytime you get to face Lamar Jackson, even if it's a great opportunity for that defense to see somebody like that. Because Green Bay, I don't know. I think Caleb Williams, I'm not comparing talent. I think Caleb Williams stylistically is more like Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Athletic, can run, but he's not looking to run and take off unless he just sees daylight.
Right.
But he's looking to make a play downfield with his arm, and he's got one of the best arms in football already. So, you know, you're looking at that, and I think getting a chance to face a guy like Lamar, for if you see anybody that's similar to him. And again, if this league is different now with the dual-threat quarterbacks, because Josh Allen is a dual-threat quarterback. Kyler Murray, a lot of the guys that you don't consider, even Baker Mayfield, to a degree, can run.
I don't think that's a degree. I think he can run. Listen, Jeremy. Today's definition of a dual threat quarterback is yesterday's definition of a running quarterback.
Hold on.
That's what it is.
Oh, man, I'm going home because he said it and I went, nobody else could see my face but you. And I went, ha, that's it.
That's what it is.
It is. You know, people would talk about, like when we would bring up running quarterbacks never won a Super Bowl. What about Steve Young? He's more of a passer, but he ran some. I mean, it's like, you know, you get those things all the time when people talk about predominantly run-heavy offenses. But, you know, I think any team that gets to have a joint practice against the Ravens, you're going to face a good defense, and you're going to face a unique offense, which I think has the opportunity to be a really good offense. For the Ravens, I want to see what my wide receivers look like against their defensive backs, and conversely, it's the same way. I want to see what this secondary looks like against those guys because they have a bunch. I don't know that they have a true number one or you're going to take one of those guys and say, hey, he's a top 10 receiver in football. Uh-huh. But they have four guys that could be in the top 30. You know, it's
let me give you an example. Jordan Love last year had 50 carries for 247 yards, four touchdowns, averaging 5 yards a carry. 20 years ago, that would have been noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Today,
Well, look,
he didn't have 300 yards rushing.
Yeah, that's why when we
said inadequate today.
Yeah, but like, you know, so exactly what we were talking about when we went back to Lamar Jackson's last playoff game. I'm not bringing up the milk carton thing. You know, we're not going to get into another argument here.
Okay, because I brought one. This is the truck.
Is he on it?
Yeah.
But no, like, you know, we looked at the playoff game and we're all talking about what Lamar did. And then we don't even bring up the fact that he ran for 60 yards because we expect him to run for more and do better.
Because he had an opportunity to do. Yeah. That's what we, it's.
But he ran for 60 yards and nobody brings it up.
But the tables have turned. The tables have turned, my man. Lamar Jackson, I remember when people wanted Gary, I know different sport, but people wanted Gary Williams gone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why? And they start saying, why? I said, you realize you want Gary Williams gone because he's not doing what Gary Williams did. He's being compared to Gary Williams. He's not being compared to somebody else. Lamar Jackson gets criticized when he's compared to Lamar Jackson. The reason why he was criticizing that game was because he didn't do the things that we've seen him do before. That's a good problem. We're not asking you to do something amazing that somebody else did. We ask you to do something amazing that you were capable of doing. And to be honest with you, I think that's part of the reason he lost some weight. However, going back to Green Bay, what challenges do you think they provide for him?
For Lamar?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, you look at that defense again. We'll have to see how stout they are up front. I think Green Bay's defensively, they're a very athletic team.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to see what they do in the regular season. But right now, I think it's the same stuff for Lamar. Like, you have to build a rapport with your wide receivers, yep. The health of, like, everybody you talk to. If you talk to people in the fantasy world and they're like, hey, who's the one guy nobody's talking about with the Ravens? Any fantasy expert goes, oh, it's Rashad Bateman. And then you see the guys go, oh, God, we're going to talk about this again? Because we brought it up at the beginning of every season saying, watch out for this guy. This is going to be something. If Rashad Bateman puts in a middling season for what I think he's capable of.
He got 45 catches.
They're in a great spot. Like, he just has to stay healthy, and that's been a big problem because I do think he has the talent to be at this level. But, you know, you want to see he and Lamar build some sort of rapport. The other thing is, I want to see how my two tight end sets look, and I would like to see them running more 12 personnel and 22 personnel in that backfield with this team in the preseason, even if they're not going to run it as much in the regular season.
I think Isaiah Likely is going to become a star in 2024.
I think Isaiah Likely is the reason that Mark Andrews isn't going to get a contract extension.
I agree with you. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think Isaiah Likely is going to show you talent. If the Ravens are smart, they're going to show you talent that you probably is so rare at that position.
And I want people
to Carolina.
I want people to understand what I'm saying, though. I'm not telling you Isaiah Likely is better than Mark Andrews, but there comes a time when it's better in this industry to get rid of a guy too soon than too late
because of fiscal reasons.
I mean, look, if there were no salary cap, then they keep both of
them. Yeah. Why would you want to get rid of either one of them?
But
you got to make decisions.
For a team that drafts as well as the Ravens do, you have to make really tough business decisions.
Speaking of fantasy, we're going to have Ken Zales on in the 9 o'clock hour today.
Oh, I thought we were coming out with Mariah Carey and ODB.
He probably will know this guy. What's trending at 7 o'clock? But on the other side, the Ravens introduced the pregame roof deck package. Jeremy, can these new features at M&T market people just looking to have some fun? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Conn, Ed Norris is out on medical.
Singing too. You like that?
Oh?
We recorded that in the back,
that's
Ben and I.
That's you?
Yeah, that's me hitting that note over and over again.
Okay.
Yeah,
the only way you're hitting that note, somebody kick you in the groin.
You know what it made me think of is loving you.
Let's see, we have the North Plaza, the Miller Lite Gatehouse and Roof Deck, the Upper Concourse, the Field Seats. We have the South Club. We have the North Club. We have the West End Club. We have the West End Club Suites. We have the Black Wing. Are all of these additions now to M&T Bank Stadium, in your opinion, to draw in folks who's just looking for something to do?
You want to come check me out at the Black Wing?
No, they ain't let you in.
Oh, okay.
What's the knock?
So I don't go to a ton of football games. I prefer to watch it at home. Honestly, like, I like to go to one or two a year. Prefer to watch it at home.
You're a football fan.
Yeah.
I don't think they're marketing you.
So this is where I have questions because we had the stadium list before and the Ravens were kind of middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And I'm going, like, I never went to that stadium and went, oh, this is a bad stadium, or it's over the top. So maybe it does feel that way. I don't know what you have to do in the stadiums, the experience of showing the guys that are there, like the fantasy football stuff, the gambling stuff now being there. Like, I think that's appeasing to a lot of football fans. But to be honest, like, anything I want to do, I can do at home without all those people. And I know maybe I'm a little bit different here. I hate crowds.
You're a football fan.
And I can watch everything.
You're speaking from the perspective of a football fan. They're not marketing you.
So
they're not. They are marketing people. I think sports is about to, or not about to, I think sports has entered the realm of sports and entertainment, like the WWE did decades ago. I think it's now sports and entertainment. There, I think now you're looking for people, you're more consistent money, people who are looking for something to do, because people are always looking for something to do. There's always, if your product fits that group of people, then you're always going to be the hot product. And right now, why was the Forum back in the day so unbelievably good? Not just because you had Magic Johnson on the floor, but they had a club underneath underneath the arena.
So, all right, let me get your thoughts on this, because like I'm a football fan, I'm a baseball fan. I love going to Camden Yards, and I talked about this. I went to Oracle Park. Everybody's saying that's one and two. I get it. I get it for both of them. I'm biased. I think Camden Yards is better. But anytime somebody's like, and I don't have anything going on, hey, you want to go to the Oriole game? Hell yeah, I want to go. I would rather be there watching it than be at home
right.
for live games. But for football, I want to be at home. So that's why it's hard for me to answer if these things are going to help or not. Because I going to Ravens games, what was it, a Thursday night game against the Jets I went to a couple years ago. And then the visual of that gigantic Raven flying, almost like a dragon, like the flying down and landing on the scoreboard. You're like, man, this is effing cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things you can do, but it ain't going to change my mind. So I think you're right. They got to be appealing to someone else.
All right. Let's take Jeremy Carr out of the equation. Jeremy, sit over there. And I'm going to move Kramer in your seat. You think this is more in...
He wants to go for the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, without these experiences, Kramer going.
Probably not, but even with those experiences, I'm still watching, you know, so they're not losing.
They're
me.
Not marketing you. Yeah. They're marketing the Kramers of the world. They're marketing the Jesses of the world.
By the way, you got to explain who Kramer's a guy that just doesn't, he knows nothing about sports.
Exactly.
Like I go into the hallway and I say, hey, do you mind coming in, breaking down the Atlanta Dragons? They played the Seattle Barons last night in the NBC, you know, just making up stuff. Right. Like, oh yeah, I'll come in and talk about it.
And he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Now. If you say to Kramer, hey, Kramer, circle your calendar. For what? It's going to be Sunday. It is a Sunday game, right? Against the Bills, that Sunday night game?
Yeah.
Sunday, September the 29th. We're going to M&T Bank Stadium. I'm not going to a football game. No. We're going. We got tickets to the Westin Club. Now, you got Kramer's attention because he's going to the Westin Club.
That's where I talked to him. I was like, hey. I got the code to get into the Black Wing if you want.
So now you've piqued Kramer's interest, even though he said he wasn't going to no football game, but now you may have his interest because he wants to go to the club. I just think that's what this is all about. And hear me out. It's not a scam. It's brilliant. I'm going to say it again. What's my education? Sports management. That's the business of sport. This is brilliant. I am now marketing. I've heard for almost a decade football fans say they're tired of the experience. They want to watch the game at home and get in the confines of their own basement and grill on their own big green egg and all these. We've heard that. Okay, so now who do we go out and get? Now we're going to get those people who aren't watching at home because they're not watching football. They're just here for the event. So let's get them. Let's keep the ones that are here for that and have them bring friends now and they come to the club. I think that's what this is all about. And again, I'm going to say the Miller Lite Gatehouse deck is brilliant. This new pregame roof deck package is brilliant because I'm getting you before the game and I'm keeping you throughout the game. I think it's smart marketing by the Ravens and other people who do this.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. The one thing, though, when it comes to football is everything's going to be based off the television deals. Like, we can sit here and talk about how much we want guys to go to the game and how you want your stadium to be packed, making money off of you know, concessions and things like that.
Right.
But, you know, you have, well, 8 or 9 home games now, disregarding the preseason, because I've seen the stands sometimes in the preseason, like, I guess everybody gave away their tickets and nobody took them. but, yeah, like, I do think that you got to make it about the experience now for people because I can get this isn't like, you know, 15, 20 years ago where you weren't getting all the games.
Right.
You couldn't find a way. Like, before the NBA package, the NFL package, you would get certain amount of games. So now you have the opportunity to watch everything.
And I'll say this. People credit Arthur Blank so much for charging so little on concessions. Google the packages and stuff they have for that. Arthur Blank, like this, is making his money off those other. Jeremy, you might pay, $4 or $3 for a hot dog. You might do that. But those people up there in that club, they're paying $300 to be in there. They're paying the difference of that.
Yeah, I paid more for a wiener.
Yeah, we know that. Speaking of which, let's go to Dundalk, get Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, Johnny?
Yo, Rob, good morning. Jeremy, good morning.
Morning.
Yo, this takes me back to a couple months ago when I called y'all up and I was like, the thing to do would be put the strip club in the stadium because then you can look out the window, watch the girls dance, and watch football. Ain't nothing better than that, Rob. You know what I'm saying? With a cigar and a bourbon.
Johnny, I'm sure, Johnny, listen, you know me, and I'm sure that reaches a market, but one thing that doesn't get to me, that doesn't draw me, are strip clubs. I don't, strip clubs don't do it for me, because I'm not paying nobody to tease me. I'm not paying you to tease me. I'm not that guy. Hey, Rob, let's go to the strip club. Okay, what else we going to do? Because that, you know.
I can't go in the strip
club. I love women. I ain't paying you to tease me.
Yeah, I can't go in the strip clubs, because every girl there falls in love with me. They come over and they're like, hey, you want to go back in this room with me?
I'm going to spill my coffee on that.
And I'm like, man, I ain't got time to go back in a room with you. You know, I'd like to give you a dance. See, they all fall in love with me when I'm in there. They all come up to me too, Rob, asking me for a dance. And I'm like, look, man, these legs are tired.
When that happened? The black wing? These legs are tired. You're not dancing.
Oh, man. Strip clubs.
Oh, boy. The NBA schedule is released. Jeremy and I are going to tell you what series excite us. I'll give you three. Jeremy will give you three. We'll do that at 7:15. But on the other side, this is blasphemy right here. We're going to talk about Cam Jordan. Ed's not here.
It's my favorite thing from yesterday, sending that text.
Cam Jordan says there's a Ravens player whose name he can't pronounce who is an absolute monster of a pass rusher. The problem is, I don't think he's talking about the guy you all think he's talking about. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.